Hello and welcome to this podcast from Don't Forget the Bubbles. This was recorded live at DFTB 19. If you enjoy this podcast, you can find all our back catalogue available on iTunes and Spotify. Enjoy!
So it gives me great pleasure to introduce somebody who I met for the first time yesterday and has already changed my life. And I mean that actually seriously. I have an interest in medical education, and I had heard about this wonderful woman, Grace, who has just revolutionized the way that I already think about design and about presentation and about style, and who did a phenomenal workshop yesterday with Ross Fisher, who is sitting near the back there on the stage left, auditorium right. So I'm fascinated to hear what else you can impart in words of wisdom that are going to change me even further by the end of today. Grace Leo.
Thank you. We'll see how I go. Dreams really do come true. Medical education and communication. This talk isn't going to be the same as the workshops that I've done about presentation skills, because this talk is actually the story of how my dreams came true. Global dream teams. If you had talked to me a decade ago and told me that I would be here standing on the stage as part of the organizing committee to Don't Forget the Bubbles, I would have been flabbergasted. I would have been really surprised, because I could not have dreamed or imagined what we are doing here today. For you, this might just be a regular conference that you go to. Maybe somebody who you work with said, oh, you should check this out. They're doing something a little bit different, or, you know, we're making a change in how we do presentations and conferences. But to me, this is fantastic. Growing up as a kid, my family was very encouraging. So when I was, you know, 6 or 7, when we go to the shops, my mom used to always be the sort of person to say, oh, why don't you go up to the cashier and buy the loaf of bread and talk to them? So ever since I was a young child, I had a really low threshold for getting up and speaking, getting involved in things. As a kid, I loved doing all sorts of extracurricular activities. I was one of those people that did 11 different extracurricular activities in high school. And so it was a little bit of a shock when I transitioned into uni and into medicine, and everything was about different spheres of medicine. Because I'd loved history, and I'd loved English. I had enjoyed doing art and design, and I'd done the school newspaper. And what it really made me think is typical Gen Y thoughts, why can't I have my cake and eat it too? I'm a firm believer that in this day and age, the way that we practice medicine is changing and evolving. Medicine traditionally used to be seen as a vocation, and I still believe that for some people it is vocation. But for many other people, including myself, I see that the way that we practice medicine doesn't have to be the straight and narrow path. You don't have to go through your training one step after another step just the same way that everyone else has done it. And in fact, you can do other things and engage in other spheres of medicine besides just direct patient interaction. When I went into medicine, I wanted to make a difference. I wanted to work in a field where I could make a tangible change. And I used to always think that working in that field would be about how I relate to patients and the direct patient care that I deliver. I still believe that. I believe that we have an incredible role, an incredible opportunity each and every day that we interact with our patients. But what I didn't realize 10 years ago is that that power can be transformed through global communication, through the power of free open access medical education and relationships and networks that we develop. Because not only can I influence my own personal sphere, my own ED department, but I can stand here and speak at an international conference and share ideas and thoughts that will influence hundreds and thousands of people. It might seem a little bit grandiose for me to be saying this as a pediatric registrar only in her second year of registrar training, but it's something that I really believe, that our words reverberate and they stay around. And we all know that the internet is a crazy world, and that when we write things, when we speak things, this video recording that's going to go live, it will still be around in years to come. And who knows how many people we might reach or influence. So this is where I'm at right now. I'm at dreams that I never even thought I would be reaching. I want to introduce you to my two global dream teams. On the top left, we have the people from Social Media and Critical Care Conference. For those of you who aren't familiar, Free Open Access Medical Education is a movement that has recently been given a name, but has always existed. It's that tradition and belief that when we practice medicine, we should be teaching other people, and that we should be teaching other people not for our own financial gain or benefit, but for the benefit of our patients and for the benefit of the community. In Free Open Access Medical Education, we don't have paywalls. Because of the power of the internet, we can slim down knowledge translation time, and information that previously might have been locked up behind journal articles, behind paywalls, just in universities, can be made publicly and freely available. So SMAC is a group of people who engage particularly adult ED physicians and critical care physicians, and it culminates in a conference each year. So that's the organizing committee team. On the left, you'll notice the Don't Forget the Bubbles team. A few of the faces will probably be familiar to you. What I want to say is that in this particular picture, we've got 8 people. This year, there's a 9th person who's attending, Katie Knight. She's been helping work on the conference for the last 3 years, and I met her for the first time yesterday. Isn't it amazing the things that we can do with the power of communication in the spirit of medical education? The fact that we can connect across countries, across hospitals, across different healthcare landscapes, I believe is a dream come true. So I hope that you really enjoy the next few days of the conference. This is a stage from SMAC Force, which is one of the pre-hospital workforce workshops that we did at SMAC. So really trying to use simulation in a real way, because I'm sick of boring medical conferences. I'm sick of doing things the traditional way. I'm sick of death with PowerPoint. And I believe that we can all aspire to be better. I think that medicine is behind lots of other fields. If you look at the tech fields, if you look at education, what we are doing with traditional PowerPoint presentations, the way that we're trying to expect a data download just doesn't work. There is a way of doing it better. And I hope that conferences like Don't Forget the Bubbles and SMAC and the work that I'm involved in is going to help to change that landscape now and in the future. This was the stage from SMAC in March. 3,000 people. It was the 5th SMAC conference. Personal learning networks and FOMED is what has made all of these dreams come true. This is my own FOMED personal learning network. I kind of jotted it down in 10 minutes when all the different people who came to mind. And you'll notice that it's kind of falling off the edges. And the reason why it's falling off the edges is that there were even more people that I wanted to include that I couldn't include. So what is a personal learning network? Personal learning networks is just a fancy name of the group of people that you are influenced by and that you influence. People that you learn from, people that you share with and connect. Because of the spirit of FOMED, because of Twitter, the internet, blogging, communication, don't forget the bubbles, my network, which might have been when I first started out, maybe 5 or 10 people at my local hospital, now spans many, many people all over the world. So how did it start? To tell you the truth, it seemed like just an ordinary day. I was doing an assignment that was due the next day on my laptop, and I was Skyping with my boyfriend at the time. And sorry, he's now my husband, just to clear things up. He might be watching this later and say, oi. So it was just an ordinary day, and I was trying to work on this presentation for university the next day. And I saw a Facebook feed notification. TEDMed is coming to Sydney, calling for expressions of interest. And I said, oh, this is interesting. This is exciting. Because I want to do peds emergency medicine, I've got a short attention span, and I'm interested in things like TED Talks because I find it easy to digest. And I said, I think I'm going to go for it. And Matt said, Grace, you have an assignment due tomorrow. Don't you think this could wait another time? I said, oh, just take a moment. So what I did was I put myself down to be a speaker at TEDMED to talk about the Australian Medical Student Journal that I'd been involved in setting up. And I was accepted. It was just an ordinary day, except that it wasn't. Because what I was doing is saying yes again. Because when I look back and when people ask me, how did you get here? What are you doing on stage here? You know, you haven't finished consultancy training. What can you have to teach us? I look back and say that it's because of all the days that I have said yes to opportunities, for all the days that I've stood up and put myself forward, even if I wasn't sure. And I'm just going to make a side point here, which is to say that research shows that men will put themselves forward for jobs that they're not fully qualified for, but women will not. And I think that that culture needs to change. So I'm just saying today that we need to step up and put ourselves forward, and that's when dreams can really come true. I found a place to call home. I really believe that when we interact online, these are real people on the other end. Sometimes it can be hard to remember that. Sometimes it can be easy to objectify that, or people can have sub-user accounts, hidden accounts, become trolls, and the internet can sometimes seem like a bit of a crazy place. But at the end of the day, even though we are all so different all around the world, there's something that ties us together. Every year at Don't Forget the Bubbles, every year at SMAC, we always see the same themes. Be kind, communicate, think about other people, think about yourselves. Remember that it's all about the patients, and we are there for the patients, and that we need to make time to reflect, to think, to improve, and grow. I believe that this is my place to call home, and I hope that you will think that this could become your place to call home as well. It's not about innate talent or gifts. When I did the creative workshop at SMAC in March, some people told me, I'm just not creative like you, Grace. Oh, I couldn't do that. You know, I'm shy, I'm introverted, I don't like that kind of thing. And I do think it's true that everyone has different gifts and different skills. But I believe that there is a place for each and every person here in the land of communication, medical education, and foam ed, because the world is a humongous place, but yet we are all no longer need to be strangers. So now I'm going to tell you a little bit about the leaps and bounds that I've made in terms of my thinking and my journey in terms of medical education. So it started with this. This is a podcast banner for a bedside critical care talk. So remember that TEDMED talk that I talked to you about? It turns out that there was someone very important sitting in that audience. That person was Roger Harris. Roger Harris had just come off the back of the first SMAC conference, and he was interested in my TED talk, which ironically was Generation Y, we want to have it all. I still believe that. He had spoken to me afterwards and said, you know what, I think that I believe in you, and that at SMAC, they had just run the first conference, they hadn't had any student tickets, but they'd had a number of medical students who had paid full fee to attend the SMAC conference. That's how invested some of these medical education medical students were in the FOMED concept, in what SMAC was trying to do in terms of changing conferences and medical education. So he said, are you interested? I said, yes, I am. But I didn't get on the SMAC organizing committee straight away. What it started with was, what are your strengths? What can you do? And I said, oh, well, I can do a little bit of graphic design. It's a bit of a side hobby. So what I did for about half a year was I made little banners for podcast talks for the Intensive Care Network. Now, the banners for the podcast talks of the Intensive Care Network require very little medical knowledge. It's something that I, as a medical student, can do. So one of the things that I want people listening to this talk now in the future to recognize is that you can contribute to medical education even if you are non-medical. You can contribute meaningfully to medical education even when you're a medical student, even when you're a resident, even when you're a junior trainee. There's lots of different ways to do it. You just have to get a little bit creative. So then I started to think, well, how can I step it up a little bit? And one of the things that bogged me, as I mentioned, was death by PowerPoint. So this is a slide that I worked together with the speaker on. at Don't Forget the Bubbles last year. So this was the original slide, and this was the slide afterwards. This was the previous slide, and this is the slide afterwards. Hands up, anyone who likes the second slide better? Hands up, anyone who likes the first slide better? Oh, there's someone with a bit of a waver. There you go. So different strokes for different folks. Not everything works, but the science behind simplifying the data, realizing that slides are an aid and not your crutch, that your slides are not your talk, all of this has been shown to be effective and proven in terms of improving medical education. Here's another example. So this is looking at a study flow for bronchiolitis. So this is the before, and this is the after. So I believe that in terms of graphic design, in terms of how we communicate knowledge visually, there's a lot that we can do to convey ideas more efficiently, to convey ideas more clearly. Because at the end of the day, you have to ask yourself, why are you there giving that talk? Why are we there on those ward rounds? Why are we there on the in the lectures and the day-to-day life? What do I have to say? What can I contribute that is meaningful? If I'm up here giving a talk with lots of information, with lots of data download, are people actually going to remember how many people were in the standard oxygen therapy group? Probably not. But if I change things up, I can remind them that in the standard O2 group, there was a 23% treatment failure. That's the frowny face for all of you. And in the high flow group, there was a 12% treatment failure. And that difference was statistically significant with a p-value of less than 0.001. And I can negotiate with you guys later about whether or not we should be praising p-values. But this is just an example of the way that I believe I'm helping to contribute in terms of medical education. But we're stepping it up a notch. This is the power of collaboration and working in a team. And I really love working in the Don't Forget the Bubbles team because we make each other better. And I think that's the other thing to take home, is that when we communicate, when we build relationships with other people because we find common grounds and interests for how we want to make the world a better place, we can do fantastic things. So this is a little infographic from a recent paper that Warwick Teague produced, except it's not the original infographic. This is the Don't Forget the Bubbles rendition, which is designed to be printable. And so one of the things that we're sort of stepping up into is Don't Forget the Bubbles is transforming not just into an everyday learning blog, but also a platform for knowledge dissemination. One of the things that you might be familiar with is the concept and eclipse studies that came out. And I've been talking a lot to people about this, so forgive me the people who I've already spoken to about this. But the concept and eclipse studies were recently published in The Lancet. And we have been really privileged. We have had dreams come true in being able to work with research groups like Predict and Peruki and Pern and so many other researchers. And we're open to other researchers if you've got connections. And so we were able to get this paper pre-publication so that we were able to write a blog post about it and do an infographic about it and release a blog post on Don't Forget the Bubbles within half an hour of it going worldwide on The Lancet. And that infographic and that blog post hit 4,000 hits within 24 hours. And if that's not multiplication of effort, if that was not worth the time, I wouldn't be standing here today. It also can be fun. It's not all about seriousness. When you work together, when you collaborate in medical education, it's okay to have a little bit of fun. And what I found is that by giving what I can do, even if I don't have the top know-how, even though I'm still partway in my training, I learn along the way. So the bubble wrap is a really good example of something like that, where we release reviews every month of topical journal articles that have come out. Good conversations are to be had on Twitter in FOMED. Here is an example. This was 2 days ago. Kirsty posted, "Hi, does anyone have pediatric ED VAR-induced wheeze pathways that they would be happy to share? Looking at updating and want to compare what others are doing." She tagged Damien, Ian, Tessa, and a couple of other places. Retweet, please. 13 retweets. Same day. These are the responses she got. And I just want to highlight, it says, Liz Herovin, who's one of our lovely speakers, said, "Yep, inbox me your email address. I'll send it to you." Claire, I've emailed the guideline advice. Stephen, here's a link to ours. Rachel, here's a link to ours. Isn't it incredible that all of this happened within 24 hours? Could you have imagined this happening 6 or 7 years ago? I couldn't. And this is why dreams are coming true even today. We can also understand diversity in practice because this is something that a textbook can never teach you. What are we actually doing in real life, everyday and day-to-day life? So Tessa commented on this. She said, oh, I find this interesting because in the UK, you wait 4 hours between bronchodilators, but in Australia, we wait 3 hours between bronchodilators. So does that mean that Australia has worse outcomes than the UK? Is it just an arbitrary number? Children with wheeze and asthma is something that we see every single day in the PZD presentation. Do we think about it? How does that make us change? Foam ed, medical education, and communication can make a real difference to improving the quality of your practice and the way that you think. This is a global network that you want to be part of. I got really excited, as you can tell. At the heart of it all, this is a poem that I love by E.E. Cummings. Dive for dreams, or a slogan may topple you. Trees are their roots, and wind is wind. Trust your heart if the seas catch fire, and live for love, though the stars walk backwards. I believe that the reason why I'm standing here today is because I'm pursuing a passion that I'm interested in. I'm following my dreams in terms of multiplying the effect that I can have to improve patient care through medical education. So my question is, what dreams are yours? What are you going to do about it? Thank you.
Right, what's the internet doing? Is it going crazy? Have we gone viral yet?
Absolutely. Grace, I've retweeted your personal learning network, which everyone can have a look at, and Simon Carley has also tweeted his personal learning network, which uses it all heads, little faces, which is fantastic. So everyone can check that out on Twitter. No specific questions from the Twitterverse, but what about from the room?
What about the room? Yes.
Hi, Grace. Look, this is more of a comment than a question. I think I share with you some of this world that we seem to inhabit. And I think personal learning networks are one of the most powerful things. And you've talked about them so gracefully and so positively. I think it's changed the way we disseminate our knowledge. And I think lots of us in this room are all part of share each other's personal learning networks. So thank you to everybody. And thank you, Grace.
If I can turn that into a question then. If you're not really aware of what your learning network is, how do you identify it and how do you expand it?
Good question, Keir. Thank you. So I think the first thing to do is do exactly what I did. Grab a piece of paper and write down the people that you know, because I can guarantee you, you all have mentors. You all have people in the workplace that you look up to who inspire you. Even if you're a consultant or someone senior, this is for you as well, because medicine is not static, and we have to continue to grow and improve. If we're not continuing to grow and improve, our patients are going to suffer. So what you do, grab a piece of paper and a pen and just set yourself 10 minutes of time. Write down all the people who inspire you. And then take a moment and flip it around, turn the page over, and write all the people who you interact with. Who are your juniors? Who are your medical students? Do you know their names? One of the things that I've realized working as a junior doctor in a hospital is medical students can often get lost in the system. And it's really surprising that when I introduce myself to the medical student, because it's really easy to identify when they come on because they're generally a little bit better dressed than everyone and they look very nervous. When I introduce myself to the medical student on an ED rotation, I find to no real surprise, I guess, that the medical student ends up being the one that follows me. And that they don't follow the other doctors because they haven't felt that connection. So I think looking out for those who are junior to you is part of your personal learning networks. Because I know that I've learned a lot from interacting with medical students, and they've taught me a lot, as I hope that me, as a junior trainee, has hopefully taught some of you as consultants. So your personal network learning networks goes up, and your personal learning networks also goes down. And then what you want to do is what Salim wrote in a great blog post on personal learning networks, which I'll tweet later, and Tessa Davis gave a great talk at the Digital Arkham Learning, is explore your weak links. Where are the edges that you feel that you're weak in? Where are the gaps in your knowledge? Who is different from your usual circles that you could explore this with? So there's a few quick tips. One is you can reach out and find those people and ask them. So with getting involved with Don't Forget the Bubbles, I actually Twitter messaged Andy Tag, I think 2 years before the conference. I'd been doing some SMAC stuff, and I said, I really like Don't Forget the Bubbles. Can I help? And sorry to embarrass you, Andy, he didn't reply. So he was probably quite busy. But I offered again the next time I saw him as well. And then later on in our conversations, he said, actually, we're thinking of starting up a conference. Would you be interested in helping? And I said, yes. So the first thing is, it's okay to reach out. It's okay to step forward. Like what I was saying before, you've got to put yourself forward in order to make connections. And it's okay if you get knocked back. It doesn't mean it's the close of the door. It might just mean you need to wait a while or other opportunities will arise. And then the third thing to mention is exploring non-traditional networks. So one of the reasons why I've been really lucky to step into a niche field is because I've got an interest in graphic design. But that's, you know, not something that they teach in medical school. But similarly, all of you who were at storytelling event or this morning's keynote would have loved the message that Mary Freer had to say. But Mary Freer isn't a doctor, she's not a nurse, but she does work in healthcare and in change. So Mary is a really great example of someone who works maybe on the peripheries of what we would consider as our day-to-day jobs, but vastly enriches our personal learning networks. So investing in your weak links is a really important tool to develop your personal learning network.
Great. Thank you very much. I think we're just about to wind up. So thank you very much, Grace, for another stimulating talk. This session has all been about dreams, and it's been themed around, in a sense, around The Wizard of Oz. You'll notice the three titles of the talks are all lines from Somewhere Over the Rainbow. And I just want to remind people about the Yellow Brick Road. Because the Yellow Brick Road is a journey, and it's a journey that people go on in order to try and get to where they want to be, to what they dreamed of. And the people who go on that journey are someone without a home, someone without a brain, someone without a heart, and someone without the nerve. But if you're somebody who says, oh, I can't do my dream because I haven't got the time, or I can't do it because I haven't got the contacts, or I can't do it because I haven't got the confidence, then you are one of those people on that journey as well. And the moral of that story at the end, I'm sure that you can remember from the book rather than the Disney adaptation where the scarecrow just gets given a scroll with Pythagoras' theorem on for no discernible reason. The moral of the true story is actually that the scarecrow had the brain all along. He just needed the opportunity to use it. And the Tin Man had the heart all along. And what this has taught me is that actually, regardless of your level of seniority and regardless of your level of experience, you've probably had the contacts all along. You've probably had the time all along. And just like there's hope somewhere over the rainbow, it's possible to bring the rainbow closer to you, as is on my lapel. Thank you very much.
Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Don't Forget the Bubbles. This was recorded live at DFTB19. If you enjoy this podcast, you can find all our back catalogue available on iTunes and Spotify. Enjoy!